Chapter 1. Special Agent Laura Frost glanced into her rearview mirror, not at the road, but at the back seat. At the 6-year-old girl who was sitting there, strapped in and looking both brave and terrified at once. The light of the sun flashing through the window played over tear stains on her cheeks, but her eyes were wide now, and she sat silently, her own arms wrapped tightly around herself. Laura bit her lip, concentrating again on the road ahead. She'd made a big mistake. But then again, there was nothing else to do. She had to rush in there and grab 6-year-old Amy Fallow right out of her own home, because no one else was going to stop her father from beating her. Of course, the only evidence Laura had that this was taking place was Amy herself. The only reason she'd known about it was because she'd seen it in a psychic vision, and those didn't tend to hold up well in court. Laura hadn't had any choice but going in to rescue Amy. But now she had a huge problem. You didn't just kidnap a young girl without consequences. And when that young girl's father was State Governor John Fallow, the consequences would have to be big. All right, Laura said out loud, just to hear the sound of her own voice and to maybe, just maybe, reassure Amy as well as herself. We're going to go see someone who can help us out.
Who is it?
Amy asked. The first thing she'd said since getting in the car. Her voice had less of a hitch to it now that she was no longer sobbing. But she still sounded so young and small that it made Laura's heart squeeze painfully in her chest. My boss, Laura said, glancing in her mirrors as she switched lanes. He's a good man, and he's going to know exactly what to do. In fact, she hadn't known where she was going until just now. She'd only thought about getting Amy out of a dangerous situation before anything worse could happen. The vision she had seen had been heartbreaking, and she knew that it probably wasn't the first time Fallow had laid into his daughter. His wife, too, cowered in front of him. Laura knew how to recognise the classic signs of abuse. Not that it made her any more sympathetic towards a woman who could allow her own daughter to endure horrific treatment like this. Just like she'd had no choice about rescuing Amy, she now had no choice but to go to the FBI headquarters and Division Chief Chuck Rondell. The governor would call in the kidnapping of his daughter, the second in as many months, and send the whole state's worth of law enforcement after her. She had threatened him not to do so, but she was under no illusions. A man like that wouldn't just let his daughter escape his clutches with no consequences. The only way this didn't end with Laura in prison and Amy right back where she started was if Laura tried to get ahead of it. Relying on her chief sense of justice and goodwill she'd garnered by solving difficult cases. If he couldn't help her, then it was all over. Laura drove as fast as she dared, with a 6-year-old in the back seat. Her unconscious thoughts must have already been taking her to the squat, ugly FBI headquarters building, because they were already so close that they reached it after taking one more exit. The grey concrete echoed her mood as she pulled up into the parking lot and got out of the car, opening Amy's door for her. She thought Amy would want to walk up there on her own. Most children at that age were starting to feel like they wanted to be more grown up, more independent. But Amy was shaking so badly that Laura ended up lifting her into her arms. She realised for the first time that Amy was clutching a faded, threadbare stuffed rabbit. It must have been a favourite toy that Amy had grabbed on the way out of her bedroom. She knew they cut an odd figure together. The FBI agent in her early 30s, blonde and blue-eyed herself, dressed in a sharp suit and power boots that were good for walking, running, and holding authority over the people they had to interview or order around. Cradled in her arms, a girl who could have been her daughter but wasn't. Dressed in pyjamas, the signs of distress faded but still visible on her cheeks. Both of them striding through the hallways of the FBI building, entering the elevator and going right up to the floor on which the division chief kept his office, ignoring the stares and curious looks they got.
"Will he make me go back?"
Amy whispered in Laura's ear, in the privacy of the elevator. Her tiny arms were locked around Laura's neck. Laura shifted slightly to look at the girl, who was keeping her gaze on the floor. 6 years old, and she'd already learned to stay quiet and not make eye contact for fear of making someone angry. Laura's blood boiled, the clench in her chest coming again, and more powerfully. "I won't let him, sweetie," Laura said, even though she really had no idea whether she was telling the truth. The elevator pinged to announce their arrival on